I want to just continue on something that God has been speaking to us for a while now. And I guess this year, if I can sum up what God is saying to us for this year, that is going to be very important, is two things: proclaiming and duplicating. Will you remember that? Proclaiming and duplicating. Proclaiming meaning that we're going to walk in the authority that God has given us and proclaim the things that He's promised us and walk in it. And we're going to duplicate ourselves. Whatever we receive, we give back and multiply in other people's lives. Okay, and that's what we trust in God for, is that the least that we've received, that we're going to multiply in other people's lives as well. You have a contribution to make. Okay? And God wants to see that coming to fruition. So we're going to do that and trust God this year to do awesome things. So even planted this year will be about that proclaiming, and we'll do some advertising shortly about planting this year. But it will be around that topic. And we are looking forward to unfold that and have speakers. I know Philip is coming from Pretoria. He's going to join us this year, and Heinrich again. We're looking forward to what God is going to say to us at Planted as well. So that just for the year. And then I just want to say, so you'll see on Church Suite as well, on the calendar, that tomorrow we're starting actually with our 21 days of consecration, which means that we are going to pray and trust God to reveal Himself to us. To begin this year in such a way that we actually commit our ways to the Lord. Okay, so I will be starting this week. Is every day at least we will give some scriptures or information through to you guys as God leads us through the 21 days. But I want to ask you to do it prayerfully. Just pray with us. Okay, we don't need to. We are going to have fast opportunities as well. During the 21 days. But the 21 days actually come to an end on that creation Sunday, the 26th of this month. And it's deliberately so that we can actually have a build-up, praying and trusting God to prepare our hearts. And I know that's one of the topics that is very controversial, especially in the first world countries, always when you talk about evolution versus biblical views. And we want to tackle that subject. So guys, we are having that speaker, and I'm trusting that you will also invite other people to come and listen to the biblical model of serving God and why God created us and how He created us. Versus other idea, worldly views that is coming directly to the against the biblical view. So, 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 to 7, if you have your Bibles with you. This morning I'm going to talk about a topic that we've unfolded for quite a while now, but it's beautiful. This is now Timothy, and we know Timothy for being a spiritual son of Paul, at a time when Paul was really so blessed in raising up sons that he could send into the universal church, the church bigger than just Jerusalem, the church that was busy expanding to the nations. And Paul had this opportunity to, like Jesus, multiply himself. To actually, whatever he received, to multiply that in other people's lives. Now, Timothy was one of these sons that he had. And we know that Timothy was not a lot like Paul because he was timid. And there was a lot of times that he actually was very scared to portray himself as a leader in the church of God. And Paul had to speak to him and to address this in his life and to say, listen, Timothy, let them not despise your youth, okay? And he spoke to Timothy, and not to the leaders, but he spoke to Timothy and he said, you, Timothy, take a stance. Stand up and be counted for what God has created you to be and for the leader that God has created within you. And we know Paul to be a forceful character, but we know that Timothy at the time was not as forceful as Paul. But there was a few lessons that Paul taught him, and he was probably the most successful son that Paul had. And I want to share these three things with you this morning. Therefore, I remind you, verse 6 of 2 Timothy 1, to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And this is an apostolic act from Paul's side to say, listen, if I lay hands on you, I do it in such a confidence that I know that I'm doing it because God has permitted me to do this. Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Okay, so let's unpack that this morning. Not a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And I just want to mention these three things. And I know it's such simple building blocks in our lives, but we so often forget this. I'm listening to what's happening all over in social media and, you know, people talking about Third World War and what's happening in Iraq at the moment. And the world power is busy showing some teeth. And you listen to how people are intimidated by the uncertainty of what this year will bring. And I spoke about it last week as well. Sitting around Christmas tables and you talk to people that don't know the Lord and you realize that politics and, you know, talking about where even Brexit and all the politics is going and now the world stage of Iraq and so many other places in turmoil, Australia going through the fires now, and you look all over the world, every nation actually goes through turmoil at the moment. And it's turbulent times. It's times where, you know, our boats are really shaked in such a way that we must now address the real issue about where are your securities? What is the things that you believe in? And nobody can say now that I'm an atheist. Okay. Some still say, but I can tell you there's more and more people that realize that it's not that simple anymore. Because if your government does not produce, and that's the strange thing about the conversations that we are having around the Christmas tables, is the fact that people's world fall apart and their opinions about things are so important if that is the only security that you have in life, the information that you can gather. If information is your security, if knowing about what is right and wrong in society is your security, it's very difficult to navigate yourself in the season that we are in now when turbulent times is at hand and you realize this is the year of breakthrough, but I think it's going to look a lot different than we think because it's not going to come with the great success stories that we are hoping it will come. Coming closer to God is going to look a lot different than we think. And I'm so glad that it was confirmed this morning by Malisha and Margot and so many others here in front that, you know, although we know this is an amazing year lying ahead, it's going to be a very challenging year. I can promise you that because I can see that God is going to bring us back to the most beautiful times with Him. But if you don't have Him as your total security, and Melanie said it this morning at intercession as well, at blindfold, and so Laura, that a blindfold faith where we can only trust God every step of the way. And this is the place where Timothy is at, a place where he was so intimidated by the circumstances. And I want to remind you that nothing has changed because at this moment in the Roman Empire, people were persecuted because they were Christians. And especially Timothy and all the disciples that were following the disciples, the apostles, they were all going under the turmoil of being persecuted for their faith. They were standing in the midst of worldviews that were going directly against what Jesus was busy teaching. And so in doing so, you were the outcast of society. And I realized that, you know, where we are at this moment, you will be the outcast of society. Don't think that having favor from God and having an experience you know, God in an amazing way, that that's going to bring you to where you will be the successful, the success story at work necessarily, where you will be the main character in the play, and you will be able to always testify about the goodness of God, because it looks different if you are Timothy and you've got not just the whole world against you, but even the leadership in the church against you. And this is where Timothy is at. Timothy realized that this task that Paul is giving me is greater than I can achieve. This task that he's given me is of such importance that I need to step up and do these things. So the first one mentioned is the one of power. And unless you can come to a place where God is greater than anything we could face, it's impossible to stand against the intimidation that we will be facing in these days. Walk in your God-given authority, or somebody will take it and use it against you. And I can promise you that very influential people are using the authority that you are supposed to take up against you because you are inactive. You are not doing what God has called you to do. And that means that even if it is like Leonard has said this morning, you fast and you trust God for breakthroughs at your workplace. You do whatever is necessary, but you take authority. You are not the victim. You are in a place of authority with Christ, where you go and take up that authority. And so the root of intimidation, we know, is fear. And an intimidated person honors what he fears more than God. And so in Psalm 27, verse 1, this is a beautiful scripture. And I want to just say to you, this comes from David, knowing God in the midst of his battles and being in the wilderness. And he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Of whom shall I be afraid? So I want to say to you, unless you can come to a place where you know your power lies within God, and God is all-powerful, and that He can overcome anything that comes against you in this 2020, it will be very difficult not to be intimidated. And so many people are intimidated these days. And anything that happens, you know, if our world leaders, and I don't want to even mention names, you know, just say something, you know, you just see it over the media, and it's a grip of fear that covers this nation. And yet, if you know your God, and you know that He's in control, and He is the light of your salvation, whom shall I fear? It is easy to be confident as long as God is doing what we expect. It's got nothing to do with being an extrovert. It's got everything to do with where you find your confidence in. I want to remind you that Peter was a person that was a big talker, but intimidated by death, and he denied Jesus. And so we cannot fabricate the power of faith. Are you with me this morning? Because I can tell you that the opposite of intimidation is truly faith, but we know that coming to such a place where we can move in faith is a place where we must know that our confidence is not in how confident we can speak and let other people think we are, but a place of drawing in closeness to Christ. Secondly, love. Loving God more than yourself. A place of self-denial. The only way to conquer intimidation is to lose your life. And so, you know, we see the beautiful picture of Peter being addressed by Jesus, then this big talker, this one that comes over as being so confident, but every time he was confronted with opposition and difficulty, he actually, you know, stepped back. When it came to Gethsemane, when it came to Jesus being captured, he denied Jesus. And so we know that Jesus meets with him on the beach after his death, and we know that Peter at this stage is still sulking a lot. because it says that he went back fishing and he went to do whatever he finds best and has his confidence in. He went back to the waters where he knows that he's at least in control. This is the one place that he can navigate himself. And then Jesus meets him on the beach, and there's a reason why Jesus gives him three times the question, "Do you really love me?" And we know that out of this, Jesus does it deliberately three times because he denied Jesus three times. And there's a healing that takes place in Peter's life at this stage. But there's a progression, because I want to get back to love now. But because for Peter, love looks differently than we normally think love looks like. The love that we understand is the kind of coochie-coochie love where you and I can give one another hugs and we feel better about ourselves. A place where sometimes, just over, you know, Christmas, we need somebody to embrace us, to say to us, "I love you. I think that you're actually a great person." That place where sometimes, and I clearly miss my wife. Okay, she's coming back on Friday. There's a place of love that we demonstrate to one another in being together and just, you know, letting one another feel good and feel appreciated. And this is what they would have called in the Greek language, philio love, intimate love and affectionate love. And so Jesus asked Peter the first time, "Do you agapeo me?" Which means an unconditional love that is not even represented by any works or actions. A love that you know that somebody is committed to you till death do us part. A kind of covenantal love where he says to him, agapeo love means that I don't expect you to do anything, but I will love you nevertheless, whatever you do. And so Peter, knowing that he has denied Jesus, comes to the conviction again and even feeling condemned about the fact that, Jesus, when it mattered the most, I did not agapeo you. And so he responds with the word, "Jesus, I cannot filio you even. I cannot even qualify as the one who has filios love." And so the second time Jesus asks him, "Do you agapeo me?" And he responds the same. And then the third time Jesus actually says, "But let's lower the standard and at least talk about filios love. Do you filio me? Peter, do you love me at least with the kind of affection that you want to do good, but you don't know at this stage?" And then Peter says, "You know everything, Jesus. You know that I love you, but I can't get it right. I'm not the kind of covenantal person that can at this stage say that I will lay down my life for you. But I'm at least honest with you, Jesus. I'm at least at a place where I must be honest enough to say that I don't know love yet." So I want to say to you this morning, we so often talk about intimidation and we talk about how do we overcome it, and we say easily, you know, we need love and we need to love one another and we need to stand with one another. But I want to say to you, we don't have a clue what love really means. And this is the place that Jesus brings Peter to. He says, "Peter, can we first have a conversation about what you did just before I died? Because if we don't have a conversation about this, you will be intimidated for the rest of your life. You will cut down ears and do whatever you think is the best, and you will miss me by a mile. But until we can have a conversation about real love and what real love really looks like, you will be an intimidated person that will always fall back onto your same old devices." And I can promise you, we do exactly the same. It's strange how we've got these amazing ups and downs with Christ. And, you know, sometimes we can conquer the world and we want to do great exploits for Christ. And tomorrow morning we stand up and we feel as if, you know, everything is falling apart. Christ is not with us anymore. You know, he's not in our boat. He's always in your boat. He's not the one that deserted your boat. He's not the one that's walking away from the beach. He's still on the beach. He's still coming. Even though he died for us, even though he died for Peter, he still came back and he said, Peter, I want to have this conversation. It's probably the most difficult conversation that you will ever have. But if we don't have this one, you will not be a conqueror in Christ. And so Jesus says to him, come and sit. Come and sit here at the fire. Do you love me more than these? These fish here on the on the barbecue, can we have a conversation about them? Do you love me more than these? Because if you don't, we have a problem here, because you don't understand the love that I have for you. I will lay down my life for you. What will you do from your side? And I want to say to you this morning, the beautiful thing about love is that it's unconditional, that it's to the place of death. John 21, verse 18 to 19, most assuredly I say to you, and listen, this is now how Jesus responds after this conversation of three times asking him this question. And he says to him, most assuredly I say to you, Peter, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by the death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. A place of restoration. Where Jesus says, listen, the only way, Peter, that you can come back to the confidence in me that you had before I died is if we can sort out this issue. The calling upon your life and the love that I have for you to such an extent that I will not leave you. I will not walk away from the promises that I've given you. I will not walk away from the things that I've imparted into your life. And this is a place where Peter finds his confidence. This is a place where Peter again can go back to the other disciples and say, let's go back. Because guys, there's a world to be saved. All the things that Jesus said was the truth. And until this point, Peter all the time had to go back to the same fears in his life. And I want to tell you, you are going to go back to the fears in your life until you can get it right. You will have those elephants in the room until you address them. But you know what? The circle will not be completed until you decide to deal with those false securities in your life. Until you can come to a place where love really matters. A place where you can say you truly love God because you committed to lay yourself down and not have your own will be done, but God's will be done in your life. Are you with me this morning? Challenging you early in the year, but God wants to walk with us. Jesus wanted Peter to know there would be a day that he would be tested again. He would allow us to face repeatedly what we fear until we are victorious. When we come to the end of our fear, we will cry out to peace. He wants us to face our areas of weakness fearlessly and not run away. 2020 will be a year where we are going to face our fears. Okay. Are you with me this morning? Are you ready to face your fears? Just say to the person next to you, I'm ready to face my fears. Okay, I see some of you are hesitant still. So just say it again to somebody next to you until you believe it. Because this year is going to be the year of proclamation. Just say it to the person next to you. Please, quickly. I want to hear you saying it. Loudly, boldly. Listen to the same Peter. Just a few chapters further in Acts now. And what he was willing to go through for Christ. Verse 40. And they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostle and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The same Peter had to go through the same test of love to Christ, commitment to Christ, till death do us part. And this time, he does it gladly. This time, he actually chooses to go into Jerusalem and to make a stance for Christ, because he knows that no persecution, no opposition will be the, you know, keeping him away from the love of Christ. Nothing will hinder him. And I can tell you, unless we can come to this place where only Christ matters, where nothing in ourselves matters anymore, but only to obey and to be obedient to him, we will not be able to see intimidation leaving our lives. We find the power of God in a place where we trust him and him alone. We love him even through sacrifice. Peter came to a point where he could rejoice over the persecution and fears in his life. You will serve whom you fear. And we said it last week as well. We will serve whom we fear. And so the third one, and I'm hoping you're following still with me. First one was power, finding power in God. The second one is, how does love really look like? And the third one now is to have a sound mind. We are overcoming intimidation here. To get the mind of God no matter of the pressure. A sound mind knows what Jesus is saying right now. Now that's the beauty of words like this morning and why we should respond to words like this morning. Because when Christ speaks, he addresses things in our lives. He allows us to find the revelation of his presence in our lives. Proverbs 24 verse 5. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. Proverbs 11:9. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. Knowledge gives you the strength to escape intimidation's trap. Ignorance is a lack of knowledge, but I want to just say to you that spiritual knowledge and wisdom supersedes natural knowledge and wisdom because it's supernatural. And it's strange how we as Christians still don't walk in the mind of Christ in things that is higher than any other around us, because we don't focus on the mind of Christ. We don't focus on the things that he is saying. We rather choose to believe what people are saying around us, what the world has to offer, what the media puts in our laps, what people are saying about opinions about things that's happening around us, rather than to what is Christ saying. So what is Christ saying about Brexit? What is Christ saying about the Middle East? Did you pray about it? Because I can tell you, to have the mind of Christ is to know what he's saying and to duplicate that in your life. And to start to find the confidence in that, because you won't be intimidated by anything that the world has to offer if you have your mind on the things of Christ. So listen to this one, Acts 4 verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Such a well-known scripture. But these were men that because they spent time, because they had the mind of Christ, people marveled. They said, listen, there's something to these people. We can't deny the fact. We think that they, you know, are the outcast. We think that they, you know, don't have anything right. But we must admire that they've got knowledge and wisdom beyond themselves. They truly have spent time with Christ. Listen to this one, Acts 6 verse 10. And they were not able to resist, and this was Stephen before he was martyred, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit which he spoke. Supernatural things flowed from Stephen as he was committed to the cause of Christ. People, I'm talking about not an ordinary lifestyle. Are you with me? Because you won't find your confidence in yourself and in people's opinions around you. The world has a lot of opinions these days. And it's strange how I think even, you know, with social media these days, we are forced to think twice. And I don't, like I said last week, I don't want us to fall into the trap of skepticism where we, you know, doubt anything and everything around us. We must choose to trust and to have faith in the right things. But one thing that I do know is at least people are thinking these days and not believing everything that they hear. And so it says of Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. When last did you speak in the wisdom and the Spirit of God that people marveled around you? This can happen if we spend enough time with Christ. If we have the mind of Christ with us. Are you with me this morning? Matthew 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Okay, all of you are not awake. Because that's not what the word says. Are you with me? What did I get wrong here? Proceeds. Okay, there's one that's awake at least here in front. It's not that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Proceeds. God is still speaking to us every moment of the day. It didn't stop in biblical times. God is still speaking to us every day. Is he speaking to us? Because if not, this year is the year where we're going to hear his voice. Are you with me? We're going to push into it and we're going to trust him to reveal himself to us, because if we find ourselves hearing his voice, things are going to change. Scriptures are only alive when the guidelines are quickened by the Spirit in our hearts. Luke chapter 17, verse 20 to 21. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here, see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. These guys, the Pharisees, thought that they actually had the knowledge and the revelation of God. And yet Jesus was with them the most cross. Because he said to them, listen, you've got all the knowledge of the world, and yet you don't have a revelation of the kingdom. You don't see me for who I am, and for the moment of significance that this represents. You don't have the Spirit of God within you. Now I can tell you, you can know the Bible front to end, and if you don't have the Spirit of God to reveal it in you and spend time with God, it's going to be impossible to have a supernatural lifestyle of commitment to God. So when we read the Word of God and we ask His Spirit to reveal it to us and make it known to us, to pick up on what His Spirit is doing. And Simeon, I mentioned it last week, was such a man, and I actually want to mention it this week. By reading the piece of scripture. Luke 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit was upon him. This man walked in the Spirit of God. He walked in not just knowledge, but an understanding of God's Spirit to reveal things in his life. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see the death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, and this was when Jesus was 6 months old. Okay, Jesus did not speak at this time. Jesus did not speak mighty oracles of God and wisdom of God so that people could recognize that he was supernatural. Or are you with me? This was when Jesus was 6 months old, and his mom and dad decided this is now the time to consecrate him, as is the Jewish law. He comes into the temple, and this man immediately recognizes, I don't just have the knowledge of prophets that prophesied over the Messiah to come. I've got a revelation of God said to me, in my lifetime, things are going to happen. I'm going to see the Messiah with my own eyes. And when the Messiah enters as a little baby of 6 months old, this man recognized, this is him. This is the one. This is the promise of God. And listen to this. It says, according to the custom of the Lord, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Luke 2, verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. These two parents just realized, listen, this is amazing. We know things, but listen, how did this guy find it out? There's only one way that he could, and that is to hear it from God alone. By revelation, he knew that the Messiah was coming. Jesus was only 6 months old. And I want to say to you, doctrine does not establish our relationship with God. It only defines it. The fear of the Lord produces confidence and boldness. And I want to say to you, only pressure reveals what we really believe. And do we know knowledge or do we really know Christ? And so when there's turbulent times ahead, when 2020, leads us to a place where we realize, okay, breakthrough looks a little bit different than we thought. We must be honest with ourselves in saying this morning that, pressure will reveal. And Saul was in such a position. King Saul. 1 Samuel 13, verse 11 to 12 says, and Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. Too many Christians feel compelled to follow their own plans because they can't wait for God. Are you with me this morning? The mind of Christ means that you are in step, like Margot said this morning. Your breakthrough is about to come, but can you wait until it comes? Because Christ knows when to reveal it to you, when to release it over your life. Now I want to say to you this morning, the mind of Christ leads us to a place where we need to patiently wait and be in step with where His Spirit is at the moment. And when God said it, that settles it. In the contrary, we see David's life. And listen to this one, Samuel 30, verse 6 to 8. Now David was greatly distressed. Okay, so he was also distressed. He was also under pressure. He was, to say the least, fleeing for his life. For the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. 2020 will be the year where you will go and strengthen yourself in the Lord. Amen? A year where you will decide to rather run to Christ and sort out things with Him and make sure to sort out the issues and the elephants in the room that is necessary so that you can come into His page rather than to get emotional about it and run around and do all kinds of crazy stuff. You are not going to be compelled to do anything. You're going to be in the presence of God. Amen? Because David knew in the midst of distress, the only place that you can find peace is in God's presence. And so it says here, then David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abithar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. And this is exactly what David did. Because when God says it, it happens. When Jesus says, throw the nets out on the right-hand side of the boat, although you toiled whole night, it starts to happen. Because if you have the mind of Christ, things start to happen. Are you still strong this morning? 2020 is a promising year of great turbulence. I'm glad you are getting it. Revelation is of no value without the wisdom and character to live it out. Through adversary, character is not grown but revealed. Woo! Can I just read that again? Through adversity, character is not grown but revealed. And I've said it so many times in this church, and I'm going to say it again this morning. You are not getting stronger through adversity. You get exposed so that you can go back and become stronger. Because it's in the midst of getting things wrong and realizing that, okay, I'm failing this test totally. You repent and you start to strengthen yourself in the Lord that you become stronger so that next time that that test comes that you will overcome it. But this intimidation must stop. It's not going to return to your front door and you give into it again. This year you're going to proclaim and stand in the promises of God so that you can overcome them. Because you're going to, in the 40 years that you are in the desert, die there. Until you can come to a place where you realize it's only those who have faith that goes into the promised land. It's only those who actually get rid of the intimidation that comes against them and say, God, I will not allow this to happen in my life again. It's those who enter into the promises of God. And this morning, I want to encourage you guys. Timidity is a spirit, and it's not of God. Intimidation is not an attitude or a disposition. It cannot be fought by intellectual will. It's not a positive mental attitude that will overcome it. The root must be dealt with. And it's a spiritual resistance that is needed to address it in the realm of the spirit. So let's talk about intimidation again. Stop thinking that the world is intimidating you with physical things and your boss at work is shunting you around and making life difficult for you. It's time to fight these things in the spirit. It's time to address spiritual things for what they are. Let's be honest with ourselves. Intimidation, fear is not a positive or a negative attitude. It's a position in the spirit that you must address and walk into with God so that you can find victory. Intimidated or using intimidation is witchcraft. And we know this of what happened with Jezebel. Jezebel controlled the leaders around her, and that intimidation made them to fear her and to do whatever she told them to do, even her husband Ahab. And yet, we see that it was not just them, it was actually the greatest spiritual leaders. Elijah was so intimidated, he went against the 1,000 Baal prophets, and he did this mighty work, and in the midst of intimidation, he was so afraid of Jezebel that he started to run. This is a spiritual battle. And I can tell you, we actually bow our knee to this spiritual thing all the time. And God says, enough is enough. I don't want you to suffer like this. I'm in your boat. Next time when that storm comes, make it to quiet down. Because I give you the authority. When Jezebel comes against you, guess what? I've got a plan. And if you're not going to follow my plan, you are going to fall victim to it. But I'm with you. I didn't leave the boat. And so She had a controlling spirit, but Galatians 3 verse 1. Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? They were so controlled by those persuading them to compromise to the truth that they couldn't follow their leaders. And I can tell you, this happens a lot in church and in church circles. We people find it very easy to even be submissive until the test comes. Then they walk on, and it's such a hot topic. But I can tell you, it's one that we will have to address in the future, because I can tell you, we so easily, even as church leaders, get intimidated by people's tantrums around us. We're so afraid that people in the church will walk out and not be part of church activity, that sometimes we miss the boat. And I want to tell you, that's not going to happen in this church. We follow Christ or not. We're not going to be intimidated by all the schemes of the enemy coming from the outside in. This church will follow Christ and Christ alone. And if we want to be intimidated by what the world has to offer, we are a seeker-sensitive church, and we are a church that only wants wealth. And I say that with respect, because the biggest divide that will happen in this last days is actually those who just wants to please men rather than to follow God. And it's a difficult one. And you want to say to me this morning, oh, please, Pastor, we must love the whole body and we must... I'm just saying to you, I can see that the church is at a difficult place. The church is at a place where turbulent times is going to shake church to again decide, are they following Christ? Or are they building nice empires that will stand so that the world think we are great people? And you know what? Sometimes I catch myself. I just want to, if we can just have this wonderful ministry that everyone wants to come to. And I'm telling you, that's not where Christ is at. Christ wants us for himself. And that does not look pretty. That means you go into Gethsemane and people want to kill you. That means you're walking in society and people want to tell you how wrong you are. So let's not think that we are persecuted yet. Yes, we are going through difficulty, and it's difficult to share always in our workplace. And it's not always easy to tell our family members that we serve Christ. And you want breakthrough? You want to deal with intimidation? Get the mind of Christ. Because that's a place of no intimidation. That's a place where Jesus can stand, in front of all and say, listen, you, even the religious crowd, I want to tell you, you're missing the point. The respected men of society. And I can tell you, if the church of God is not going to wake up, the world is going to take it by force. We're going to see the church keeping declining until there's nothing left. And Christ will never allow that. But what I'm saying. Yes, Christ is building a pure bride. And he's coming back to the essence of why he called us. Isaiah 54 verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Hey, are you awake this morning? Can I just proclaim this again over this church? No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment shall condemn. This is the heritage. This is the heritage. This is the heritage. This is the promise. This is the dream. This is the fulfillment of Christ over your life, of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. You are in right standing with God. Therefore, he favors you. He wants you to experience. And it was beautiful this morning in intercession. God said to us, Christians are going to become strong pillars in communities again because of the wisdom that they have, because of just being different than the world. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5. Let's quickly stand because I want you to be awake. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Okay, I must read this until, I think, 50 times today, until you get this. For though we walk in the flesh, this is now number two, we do not walk according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. And are you embracing this? I don't want you to just listen to me. Embrace this. Make it part of your life. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. For though okay, not going to read it again, but I wish I could read it 50 times this morning. Guys, there's a battle and we are intimidated. We're not always focused on getting the victory. And Christ is saying, listen, turbulent times is coming, but I'm going to give you the victory. You're going to walk on those things. You're going to start to get victory over them. You know, it's going to be hard. To fight a battle is not easy. You don't just get the victory. You need to fight the battle actually to do so. And yes, it's going to look different. What man considers insignificant, God uses to perform the impossible. I want to say to you this morning, I am so excited, not about the times that's lying ahead. It's difficult times. I would lie to you if I would say this morning that we are going to go into 2020 and this is going to look like this amazing year where, you know, everything is just prosperous. But you know what? We're going to have testimonies. We're going to tell the stories of victory upon victory. Because God is giving us the victory. But it's time to get to the mind of Christ. It's time to understand the power of God and to really understand what love is about. Because sometimes in this season, love is not going to look like you've experienced it in the past. It's not going to be coochie-coochie always. It's not going to be a place where you're going to feel people embracing you all the time and saying, hey, come on, let me encourage you, let me... Yes, that's necessary, and we're going to keep on doing that. But when turbulent times come, you know, most people are just running for their own survival. Strange. But one thing that I can tell you, we won't stop pursuing the principles and love of God in our midst. But Christ was focused. There was a battle to be won, and he had victory upon victory because he knew how that looked like. And in the midst of all of that, when Peter comes and he says, Jesus, you know, let me just find your embrace, and everything that Peter says, you know, is just to please Jesus. All the stupid things that he said and so easily said was just to please so that Jesus could think that he actually knows what he's talking about, and then Jesus would rebuke him. Love looked differently to Peter. But it's strange how, you know, even, and I know I'm talking to the wrong people again, yeah, this morning, and I say that sincerely because I know that all of you are such committed followers of Christ. But I want to tell you that I think the body of Christ is looking for the wrong things. We think love is, you know, always smooth up everything we say, to love one another in such a way. And yes, I'm all for love. But Christ was committed to death. It cost him. It's difficult. And so this morning, I know that the love of Christ is enough in this room for each one of us to be embraced by Him. He's the perfect Father. He's the one that embraces every day. And you know what? I want to tell you, I need those hugs as well, and I go to Him often to get that. And I want to encourage you to do the same, because even though I'm throwing a bomb again here in the midst of all of us, I can tell you, I don't doubt His commitment to us. And I'm excited about 2020 because He's in the boat. He's going to run with us. Can I just ask the small group to quickly just get us the communion, because we're going to end off with that today. And I want to just say this morning, you know, let's mean business with God. Bring your fears to God this morning. The things that you are so afraid to actually address. And let's commune around this. Let's come in covenant with God, because He's committed to that. It's not as if He forgot about your challenges. It's not as if He forgot about why He even allowed you to be in these circumstances. But He's excited about your life. He's excited about the things that's going to happen this year. And He's committed to it. As they are handing out the communion, I want to encourage you to just spend time with God. If we can have soft music in the background, piano. And I want you to think about, because we don't go and sit still and actually think about these things. Tomorrow, the new year has begun. Okay, for those who are still in holiday mode, it's over. Okay, tomorrow we're going to run again. And you actually don't get to the things that matters the most. And that is just to be honest with yourself. To actually put time apart, to be honest with yourself, and what intimidates you about this year. And just to bring that to God. So I'm not going to this morning even do communion with you. You're going to do this with the Lord. You're going to say, God, I come to You in Your own time. I want to come to You and covenant with You in the beginning of 2020 again. And I want to say that You are the perfect God, and I'm committed to Your ways. I'm committed to the fact that You have a plan for my life. Are we on the same page? Because my desire is that you will receive His fullness this morning. As you use the communion, that you will surrender those moments of intimidation with Him and allow Him to minister to you.